recorded live.
All right, good evening, everyone. We're going to get started with our meeting tonight, or our conference call tonight. We did file an addendum to the action at law. This is on our gun lawsuit. We filed this today, as a matter of fact. We wrote it over the weekend. Posted it on Saturday night, so it's posted up on our website right now. If anybody's interested in reading that website, latest paper, you can go to newyorkcommittymen.org, and on the left side, if you click on lawsuits, it's the third one down, and on the top of that page, you'll have the list of all the lawsuits that we're involved in at this moment. We do have more to post up there, and we have a couple of the IRS cases we'll probably post to soon. We're not at that process. We're in court with any of those yet. So, excuse me. But we do have two, maybe three IRS cases. And we're looking to do something with the sheriff. We do have a page for the sheriff now, and we're taking names for anybody who wants to be on that case. They can download a form and fill it out, sign the paper, and mail it in, or fax it in, or email it in, and we'll put you on that case as soon as we get started with it. But right now, we want to talk a little bit about our Second Amendment case, the gun case. So if you want to click on that page there, and you come down just a wee bit, you'll see we filed two papers already. The first paper we filed was on March 4th, and that was the action at law. We filed that, it was on a Monday. And we just filed an addendum for that action, which is dated 3/18/13. So that's the new one. You can download that right now and read that if you want. I'm just going to read a couple of items out of this particular addendum. It's a pretty powerful addendum, I think. Last weekend, it dawned on me that we didn't get this into our case, and I can't believe it didn't come to mind. I'm kind of surprised Bob Schultz didn't get this into his case and it didn't come to his mind because we were really building off the shoulders of Bob Schultz in this particular case here. Bob Schultz's best work was the work he'd done to get rolling the Continental Congress in 2009. And it was a long path. I think it was like 12 years or so. To build that process to get us to the Continental Congress, and he did a real good job doing that, so I want to commend him for that. And the work of the Continental Congress is really it's just great. I mean, it's monumental, and it's the people. It cannot be denied. So anyway, this paper, what it does is we're adding to it an additional 9-page addendum to our complaint. Like I said, it went out today. And just to go quickly through this, I want to get to one point where I want to read. But we do cover the background history of the First Continental Congress that took place on September 5th to October 26th in 1774. And it was during that Continental Congress that they came together because they were having so many problems with the king. And they were just being assaulted everywhere. They were trying to take their guns away. Just what they're doing to us today. Nothing has changed. And so they got together to try to figure out what they could do. So they did some embargoes, and they wrote a letter to the king and so on and so forth, and they figured they'd fix it. Well, anyway, things got worse, and within a year, it just had really built up what they called the Second Continental Congress. They had planned for that meeting just in case anyway, but the Second Continental Congress was called for on May 10th, 1775. And while they were in process and en route to meet in the Second Continental Congress, but war had already broken out. And the end results of that Second Continental Congress was the beginning of our new country, the United States, was bringing together a union of the 13 colonies. And then the Continental Congress, they went on for a few more years. I think 5 more years they actually was the governing power of our country until the Constitution was finally put together, and then they moved over to a federation, and then eventually to the constitutional government. Well, let me reverse that. The Constitution came later, I think, in 1789, and then they moved at that point to the new government, which is the government we have today. Which, by the way, there's absolutely nothing wrong with our government. Government is not the problem. The process and the procedures and the structure we have is not the problem. The problem is the enemies of liberty that have taken over our government. But anyway, so we cover this particular history in the beginning of our brief, and then we talk about how history is repeating itself and the similarities of today and what our founding fathers went through. And I'd like to read one kind of ending paragraph in this section, and then I want to get into what really the focus of this paper is really all about, which is maybe two paragraphs. But coming to an end where history is repeating itself, we wrote at the end of this thing, the last paragraph, it says, the people's last great president who paid the ultimate price for liberty, who shared our struggle, and who tried to warn the people of a monolithic conspiracy, said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolutions inevitable. John F. Kennedy. Duty falls upon this court to end the tyranny and prevent the inevitable. The people will not disarm and bend their knees to tyrants. And then we go into what the decree of the sovereign makes the law. And that is common law. That is what we are built upon. That is the structure. But anyway, to get to the end of this paper, we come in with this. As concerning the issue at hand, in this case, the people have spoken and have ordained the following through the Third Continental Congress that no just court can refuse. Now, this is the Continental Congress that was voted in. 48 states attended this meeting. We had 73 or 76 delegates at this Congress. It went on for 10 days. These people were elected from around the country. The news media would not pick this up. We had to do all this networking throughout the country in order to get this Continental Congress elected. And we did. The people did elect the Continental Congress, and they did meet back in 2009 in St. Louis, Missouri, I believe it was. And their results were 63 pages, and it's called the Articles of Freedom. And they have laid out in no uncertain terms, in great detail, what is expected of the federal government and what is expected of our state governments. And it is the command of the king, the command of the people. You know, the people in this country, we are kings. Kings without, how does that go? Can't think of the word. But anyway, in any event, our process was put in together as we are a king. And we get to rule over our own lives. The government does not have the authority to rule over us. They do not have the authority to legislate any kind of behavior over us. We get to rule ourselves. And as long as we don't interfere with the life and the world of another king, we're okay. So that's what our court system is built upon. You have to have an injured party. And if there's no injured party, then you cannot be brought into court to be sued or to be, well, of course, if you're being sued, be sued by an injured party. But you can't be brought in court under any kind of a criminal action if there's no one to make a complaint. And what I was looking for was subjects, kings without subjects. So that's what we are. And so when we, the people who are above the Constitution, and that's how the Constitution was written, the Constitution was written basically through the Continental Congress and the Federalists. That's how this Constitution came to be. And it starts off with the preamble. We the people do ordain and establish. It is ordained. Ordaining means it happened by a king. A king's ordain. And so when we brought together the Third Continental Congress, we have the voice of the king, the voice of the people. They have no choice but to obey. And to disobey the voice of the people when it is clear to an elected body, then that is tyranny. And so when we realized and thought about this and said, why didn't we put in this Continental Congress into our complaint? Because they were very clear on the meaning and the command to the states and the federal government concerning our Second Amendment. And they were clear on a lot of things. 63 pages worth of clarity, by the way. And in this case, in this paper, which is 9 pages long, we do add to the back of this the entire Articles of Freedom, which is 63 pages. But here's what we wrote at the end of this. Okay, let me reread that last line. As concerning the issues at hand in this case, the people have spoken and have ordained the following through the Third Continental Congress, that no just court can refuse. the Articles of Freedom, Article 4, Militias, Firearms, and the Second Amendment. Subparagraph B, Remedial Instructions to Each of the Several States. Whereas the Second Amendment, now this is the Articles of Freedom, this is the command from the people through the Continental Congress in 2009. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Whereas the Second Amendment to the Constitution mandates that in order to provide for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And whereas a multitude of federal statutes constitute de facto infringement, now, therefore, we, the delegates of the Continental Congress 2009, as a free people of America, do hereby instruct as follows. Number one, repeal all state statutes regarding the ownership, use, and transfer of firearms and ammunition. Two, repeal any state statute which provides for the regulations of firearms and ammunition. And that's all we quoted in that, because that's what we want. That's what all our case is about. And they pretty much said the same thing that we said. And we reiterated our wherefore clause. And our wherefore clause goes like this. Wherefore, the people move this court to find for the people and declare New York Penal Code 265 and 400 and the recent New York Safe Act as pretend law, an infringement upon the unalienable rights of the people, repugnant to the Second Amendment, and therefore null and void, and for the following orders with enforcement. At the end of this course, we go through this whole process talking about a judgment and an order on each and every part of our government, upon the governor, upon the New York State Senate, and upon New York State Assembly. And we ask for that with enforcement, and also ordered by and through and delivered through the sheriff of Albany County. So anyway, that's sort of an update on where we're at in the latest paper. I was going to go into an anatomy of a court case and talk about that tonight, but I don't think I'm going to do that. Maybe we'll do that another night. We'll see, maybe next week, depending, unless something else comes up. If not, we'll look at that and we'll discuss that. But right now, I want to open up the lines and go straight to questions and answers, conversation, and see once what other people have to say or think about that. We also are aware of a court case, one other note on this, up in, goodness, I think the Buffalo regions. It's sort of way out west. Let me see what county that might be. I don't know whether it's Erie County or Chattatuqua or something like that. But some guy was arrested out there for making a sale of a firearm, an assault weapon, and ammunition. It was a setup to begin with, you know, because the purchase was being made, I believe, by federal agents or some agents. And we're looking to get contact with that person to see if they want to use our process in going through the case and finding that they have no jurisdiction over him. Because that's how we win all of our cases. This was a case that has to be dealt with in a town court. A Supreme Court won't deal with this case. So being dealt in a town court, they don't have jurisdiction over anybody. So all you have to do is challenge jurisdiction, and you're out of there. Now, it is an uphill battle. It's not as simple as just being out of there. So it takes a little time and exercising some paperwork and just pushing the issue. But if you stick to your guns, so to speak, you will win it. All right, let me open up the lines for questions and answers. So I'm going to click the unmute button. Okay, phone lines are open. If anybody has a question or comment, make
it. Yeah, John?
Yes, who's talking?
Ken.
How you doing, Ken?
As you went through that addendum, it sprung a note in my head that the issues between them and us right now is simply sovereignty. That's what we're keying on for the reason we want to change, and it's what our background is, and it's what they don't want.
Absolutely. And that is exactly why we wrote that one line in. I think it was a pretty powerful line, a pretty in-their-face line to let them know this is the line in the sand. The people will not disarm. I will not disarm. The people will not disarm, and they will not bend their knees to tyrants. These people are tyrants. They're traitors to the country. They're traitors to freedom. They're traitors to liberty. These people need to be brought to justice.
You know, we're the only country in the world that has a sovereign person, and that's what the globalists don't want. I mean, they've been trying to get us out of back into the woods and back against their own problem, up against the wall, for 200 years, and it's down to this. That's what it's about, sovereignty and our own freedom or our own safeguard.
Right. These people are traitors. They're trying to disarm us. They're trying to take our sheriffs away. That is the next move for anyone who doesn't know that. And we want to get a step ahead. We don't want all of a sudden some legislation to come out in 3 days and you turn around and you have no sheriffs. Okay? So we're getting on top of this right now. We need to file this program. And by the way, we need support. We need to grow across the state. People need to bring people into this room, people into our groups, people onto our website, become knowledgeable and understanding. As Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So we have to get knowledge. Knowledge is power. And we found the power. We found their Achilles heel. We just need the people to get up and start exercising the power, and let's take them down by attacking their Achilles heel. We are traveling the state giving presentations, so if anybody wants to organize for a presentation in their county, call all whatever liberty groups, gun people, the associations, get it out on Facebook, and just let's set a date. You can give me a call, get my number online. On our webpage, New York Committeeman, under contacts, and we'll work out a date. We'll come out and give you this presentation. It's an extremely powerful presentation. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long, and there's usually an hour of questions and answers after, maybe longer if people want, and it's powerful. It will show them how to take the political process back, how to take the judicial process back, what can be done now. And now is the time to get the knowledge and organize. We have to get to that position where we can take that power. And so that's where we're at. You know, I'd like to read just two more paragraphs that we wrote in this court case. And again, I think they were right on mark and right on the point. And we come down and we say, let us be candid. No branch of government in these United States have the authority to overrule the people and their anointed Continental Congress. To do so is high treason. High treason is when treason is out after the king. And we're the king, and they're trying to disarm the king, and they're trying to take away the king's protector, the king's army, which is the sheriff, the elected sheriff. The elected sheriff all too long has been asleep and doesn't understand what his job really is. And we have to re-educate him, but we first must re-educate ourselves. So anyway, to do so is high treason. And we, the people, once we win back the judicial and political power by the mercy of the supreme judge of the world, we will hold these turncoats accountable. Tyrants have seized, and this is the next section of this, is the issue and the command. In the beginning of the issue, before we give the command, we make the note that tyrants have seized control of the king's reins and refuse to obey the master. That's the people. This court has but only one choice, which is to mirror the will, which is the image of the king, the will of the king, to do anything contrary after the people have ordained their will through the elected Third Continental Congress would be treason, an act of war against the Constitution and the people, and an act outside their jurisdiction, thereby being made accountable. So if the judge rules against us, we're going to add him into the complaint, and we're going to move up the court lines. All right, anyway, let me yield the mic.
John?
Yes.
How are you? This is Hisham from Stockholm.
How you doing, Hisham? Good to hear from you. Hey, I'm sorry I haven't got back to you yet. I don't think you were on last week, were you?
No, I came very late. I was delayed at work.
I know you sent me an email, and I've just been so busy I haven't gotten to it, about you wanted some information on a certain type of court case, which I do have. I just got to dig it out and get it out to you. But
I understand.
Anyway.
And thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
So question here in the page 7 of the addendum, in the middle of the page, you're requiring the court to issue a judgment order with enforcement that the governor of New York does so and so, which includes calling a press conference to proclaim that these laws, including the latest one, the SAFE Act, are pretend law and it's assault, and to the end of the thing. Let's assume that the court ruled with that. And to be practical and like, I'm not saying this is not right, but I don't think that Cuomo or any governor today will do this. So what's next?
Contempt of court.
And
we arrest them.
You see, these guys are in treason, and the penalty for treason, we know what that is. It's death. And they think that these laws are dead, but they're not dead. Listen, in Nuremberg, they hung the soldiers that said we were following orders. Now, who's under treason? Well, Cuomo brought the law in and pushed it through. He was told it was unconstitutional. He pushed it anyway. And then you have the state police commissioner who has set up stings to exercise this law, even though there's numerous cases in court that are pushing this through. And he has said himself he will confiscate. If you violate the law, we're going to arrest you. Well, guess what? He's in treason, too. So, you know, basically, this is the beginning of a revolution. We're trying
it
to
is.
Peace.
Yeah.
This is a peaceful revolution. You know, if they want to move on a county or something and the sheriff deputizes a bunch of men, that's the only peaceful solution. When it becomes unpeaceful is when they pick on one person and they bring in a bunch of jackbooted troops and they burn their house out like they did in Waco. That's how people die. But if they come into your county and you have a good sheriff and they say, well, we're going to send 500 federal marshals, and the sheriff says, okay, so I'm going to deputize 1,000 men, that will end up being a standoff. They won't go there, believe me. They will not. So this is the peaceful solution. They're going to accuse us of being terrorists. That's the first thing you have to understand. They're going to say we're terrorists. You know, they call the colonists terrorists.
I do understand that. That's why I'm raising the issue.
Right.
We've
given some thought to it. And the main thing we're going to do is we'll find them in contempt of court, and they will be ordered to show cause why they would be in contempt of court. And in the wherefore clause in that would be is that they are going to be held accountable and be arrested if they do not show good cause and why they cannot or should not do that. Now, first of all, they also are in treason in the fact that the Continental Congress, the third Congress, has come together and they have ordered the governor of this state. They have ordered the assembly of this state. They have ordered the Senate of this state to obey the law. And they made it, they've written it out. And, you know, the article is on this paper right here. If you download it, you got it right behind it. It's 62 pages and 63 pages. And if you read through it, it's a pretty good document. And they go into the details exactly what they explain what it means that Congress shall make no law. They shall not infringe upon our right to bear arms. They explain exactly what it means. It means leave our guns alone. Don't number them. Don't try to license them. Don't try to do anything with just leave them alone. And don't try to, you know, number our ammunition either. It's none of your business.
Listen.
So we will go out after them for contempt of court. And then after that, and this is, by the way, listen, in order to do this, we do need money. We need support. We need growth. Okay, we need to pull Sheriff Mack in. Okay, Sheriff Mack is coming into the state. He's going to be out west, I believe, next week sometime.
Yeah, he's going to be in Syracuse.
Syracuse?
Yeah, next Saturday. Saturday, the 23rd.
All right, thanks. To bring Sheriff Mack in, we brought him in before. It's a couple of $1,000, you know, to pay for his flight in and give him a place to eat and a place to, you know, place to stay and food to eat. And all his expenses is about $2,000, maybe it's a little more. I don't remember exactly. Maybe Gerard remembers. But we need to raise money to do that. We need to file a complaint in the Supreme Court concerning the sheriffs. We need to get back. We've got 7 counties in New York State without sheriffs. We need to get them back into the game. We also need to bring Sheriff Mack out here in order to talk with the sheriffs. They're ready. They're primed. They're ready for a Sheriff Mack to come into our state and talk to them about what their real duty is. And once he gets in here and he talks to the sheriffs and lets them know what their real duty and authority is, and if they understand what their true role is, we'll have a much more powerful sheriff. Now, then we can depend a little better and a little more on this at the end of this court case for the sheriffs to actually go out and arrest these people. Because we have to convince the world that we're the people and we're doing the right thing. And we're not letting this political judge rule on this case. This is not going to be decided by some political hack, some judge who doesn't even remember what common law is all about and is only doing the what is politically expedient for him, and that is to maintain the status quo. We're not going to allow that. That's why we filed what's called a call of record. We have 900 jurists on this team, 900 jurists. They are the people who have filed the complaint together in one accord. They are the sovereign. There is no jury here, and the state cannot push for a jury. We're not asking for a jury. We are the jury, and we're going to hear the case. We're going to run this through the process under common law procedures, under a court of record, which is guaranteed by the New York State Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. It is guaranteed common law under a court of record. The sovereign is the tribunal. They are the judge. We have 900 people who are going to make the decision at the end of this case. And we're going to, of course, fight for the rights of the people.
And
so that's how we're going to do it.
I am one of the 900. And
you are one of the 900.
I do agree with what you're saying, but what I'm trying to raise is for discussion and for education for us.
Right.
The philosophy of the approach.
Right.
So, for example, this way that it's written, and I'm not saying it's wrong, absolutely not, and I'm not saying, I mean, this is the right thing to do, but considering our circumstances at the time, we are, as if we are calling for a fight immediately right now, confrontational, is there another way that could be a tactical shift, a middle way to get a stronghold off and then move on more further towards, you know, more of these rights instead
yes.
of going for confrontation right away like this.
Yeah,
actually,
there is another way. Does someone else want to speak first?
No, go ahead.
There is another way, and there is another thing we're doing. We're going in for political and judicial power. And I know you know about the political side of the power. Now is the time to get these presentations going. We have a lot of, you know, new blood coming in. We had a meeting in Greene County where normally, you know, we'd get 15, 20 people, and over 200 people showed up. We had another meeting in Columbia County where we normally get 15, 20 people, and over 200 people showed up. They're coming in from the gun clubs. They're worried about losing their guns. They're waking up. They're rubbing shoulders with the Liberty people, and they're starting to realize that there's more problems than just this gun issue. And they want to know what to do. We have an opportunity to grab onto these people and bring people into our ranks in high numbers. If everyone goes out into their communities, into their counties, and look for the associations, go talk to these people, bring them into the meetings, talk about giving them the power to do something about this. Because people feel powerless. And I want to tell you, all we need is about a dozen people. A dozen people would be fantastic, okay, in each county. We
as committeemen. As committeemen.
As committeemen.
Yeah,
a dozen people. Or three or four at the minimum, but a dozen people in every county to become an elected committeeman, we can take over just by brute force. Coming in, 12 people can create such chaos in the system and take control without going through the court system. And we could talk and show you what our strategy is to do that. But once you come in and take control of that county and we become the county chairman and we take control of the counties, believe me, most of those people will go along with those 12 people coming in and saying, hey, who made this guy king? Why are we being pushed around like this? How come we don't get a vote on all these seats and all these committees? We don't even get a real vote at our own. They're called straw votes. Okay, well, we could take over in that way. And when we take over that process in that way, we then control the judges, we control every elected individual, and we can start recalling. And the process to recall a judge, we could do it two ways. We could do it through the committee man, and we can recall him for bad behavior, because that's what they only serve as long as they're in good behavior. And the second way we could do it, because we'll use the same process to build this system, is to create grand juries in every county, a of 25 people that come out from the people. And once you get that process and set it in place, and it's not hard to do, okay, that 25 people can stand up and remove any judge from the bench like that. They don't even have to go to a recall. They remove him by their own 25 vote. He's out of there. So any judge that's in bad behavior, they have destroyed our process. This process has been available to us, but it hasn't been for over 75 to 100 years. They've robbed us of our heritage. They've robbed us of our freedom. We need to take it back. People, if you're not educated and we're ignorant, then don't expect to be free, because it can't happen. We have to spend the time. We have to re-educate ourselves, and we have to get knowledge. And then with knowledge, we can get power, because what I'm telling you is power. But that came from the knowledge. People need to hear it, and they need to act.
I think what Hashim wants to know more is about the strategy. Now, you're talking about bringing people in as committee men. Now, there's a timeline on that. That can only happen after they walk their papers at the primary. Now, they're claiming that there's not going to be any August primaries anymore, like the last one was so screwed up, we didn't even know when to go walk our papers. And they did that purposely, by the way, because they knew that there was this challenge, this primary challenge that was going on, and so they tried to mess things up by changing the dates, and nobody knew what was going on. But like he's saying, we have this case going in now. I mean, let's look at the timeline of the case and the timeline and realistically of when we can get the committee men in, and that's kind of how we got to focus here, because this is a reality. Like he said, we're coming in straight on asking for a war, so to speak. We don't have the committee men. I mean, what's the quickest we could get 12 committee men in every county? That would be this year when we walk our petitions, which and that's not going to happen until July or August, right?
No, it's June.
Okay, so June.
Yeah.
So, and obviously they'll be unopposed, so basically they'll be deemed elected. Technically, they don't take their seats until January, though, right?
Correct.
Or actually, no, they take them right away because the
no, seats no, no, after no? the elections.
Okay, so they wouldn't. So, in other words, those committee men would not actually be able to take their seats until January, this coming January, and I'm afraid we're already going to be in martial law before then.
Right.
I mean,
well, and we have the two court cases going through, which we have the two appellate court systems in New York, and we have two on the federal level too.
Well,
so we have a lot going on there.
You know, somebody said, you know, the court cases are not going to save the nation and stuff, but what the court cases will do is they can save the state and the communities. President Obama doesn't care about court cases. He doesn't care what the Supreme Court tells him. He's not going to obey it. He's going to exercise his presidential, executive orders that he has. That's why he put them in, because he knows he needs those.
Yeah, but at the same time, at least if this gets overturned in our favor, this gives us an opportunity to stock up and to get ready. Because DHS, we don't have the ability to put in a 2 billion round order for hollowhead bullets. We don't have the ability to get 7,000, as they call them, personal defense weapons. We don't have the ability to get 2,700 light armored vehicles.
If we win the court case, I mean, that would be great if we won the court case in our state.
It'll definitely give us an opportunity to get back in the game.
All we would do is take the ammo that they have stored here. We would kick them out of New York State, and we would keep all that stuff for ourselves.
You know, let us not think that we don't have a chance with this court. It only takes one court case for us to win to do what we have to do, just one of them, other than, of course, the gun. We need the gun. But I'm talking about on the committee man thing. All we need is one judge to come to his senses and say, wait a second, I'm an American too. All this stuff makes sense. Hey, you guys, you're wrong, and start fighting on our behalf. It takes is one judge up there in the appellate court system and to give us what we're asking for. And if that happens, then this entire state in 3 months is going to be repositioned in every – you're not even going to recognize New York State. It's going to be the new New York State.
I think the committee man is actually more powerful than any of this, because if the judge rules in our favor, the first thing that happens is the ruling elite gets knocked off their perch, and we're there. It's us. And so every politician that sits in office is now turns to the new king, the new committee men, who are the kings now, and says, oh, God, what do you want us to do so we can stay in office? And we tell them.
Right.
See, that's more powerful than even a court order, because the new committee men will have their political life in their hands, and they understand that. You see, they work for the party. Washington said that. He said, if you have parties, he said, guess what? Your elected official, your politicians will work for the parties and not for the people. So that's what they do. And look at how they control the judges. The judges are such political animals that they don't give the people a chance, because they know that they got to go with do what the party says. If they don't do what the party says, then they're dead. They're financially, they're politically dead, and they're financially dead.
Well, that's basically like what happened last Wednesday when we went to the state Supreme Court in Albany with Bob Schultz's lawsuit, and the judge took a cop out and was like, oh, well, I'm constrained by the ruling of the Court of Appeals, and therefore I cannot rule on this.
Right. Well, believe me, they're going to have a hard time dealing with us when we go, because we have an entirely different program.
Yes.
And when we walk into that courtroom, we're going to turn that courtroom upside down. This judge is going to be stuck with his mouth open, because he's going to hear things he's never heard before. And he's not going to know how to respond to this. And we're going to have proof that what we're saying is the real deal, that we're talking about the real law. And it turns out, I think we may have a judge on this gun thing here. We may have a judge that may be a thinker. We have a judge that may actually be ready and willing to deal with the people on that. In other words, be with the people. So we'll see what happens. But what we have to do, we as a group of people, as the people trying to take back this republic, what we have to do is we have to get knowledge. That's the first thing. We have to get out onto the web. Everything we need to know and more, we're adding all the time, is out on our website. You need to listen to tapes. You need to read the papers and learn how to get through the court system. Learn what liberty, what being free, what liberty really, really is and what it means. We need to grow our group. We need to bring more people in. We need to organize our counties and get a hold of the other leaders in the county and get the groups together and have us come out for a presentation to show you how to take power through our presentation. And then we have a support right here through these meetings here on TalkShoe. Plus, we have our website, which supports. We have cases going on all over the place, not only in our own area, but we've already got a satellite group working out on the western side of the state, and they're off on their own doing their own thing, and we're assisting them, and we work together. Well, we need more people in groups working into the judicial system. We need to say no to the town courts, you know, but we need to get people into the system. We need to build our numbers throughout the state.
Well,
you do that by bringing people to this meeting, getting them out onto our website. Then we need money support too. Well, you know, an operation can't go on without money. We need money seriously. There's cases we want to file. We don't have the money to file it. And, you know, if everybody involved threw in $5, $10, $15, $20 occasionally, that would supercharge our whole system. And there are some people that can throw in more, 100 or 500, you know. We also need to get the word out to the people through the newspapers. We don't want to go network yet. That'll happen all on its own. But right now we just want to go local. You know, I think the best thing to get to the newspapers or to the radio stations is this last paper that we just filed, the addendum to the action at law. It's only 9 pages. They can digest it. It's powerful. It's patriotic. And it's an amazing paper, really, when you consider what's attached to this, the Articles of Freedom, that people don't even know that a Continental Congress has met just a couple of years ago, that things have gotten that bad. So get this out to the papers. Get them to look at this particular paper and to see that we filed the gun lawsuit. We'll start to get local press attention, and that'll help, too. That'll start to put the pressure on, okay? And when they see what we wrote here, and then they go look at the action, if they can get through that, because that's 49 pages, but it is really a paper that really educates. So that's the kind of help we need. We need to get the word out. We need to get people in.
Well, two Tuesday, I don't know if any of you all heard about this. You might have, because I know we're from all around the area. Tuesday, April 2nd in Duanesburg, they're having the Duanesburg Freedom Night. And it's an educational presentation on the Second Amendment presented by the Oath Keepers. I'm going to be out there. Some other people that I know are going to be out there. And I'm going to try to, you know, talk to as many people as I can and, you know, try to get people on board with this. I know my buddy Robert Porter, who was trying to get on the ballot this past year for, I think, the 109th Assembly. He's the one who told me about y'all and got me interested. And one of my biggest questions is, how do I go about getting myself as a committee man? Because that's definitely, I mean, with everything that's been going on, I was never, ever, ever, ever interested in politics until things have started to go the way they've been going. And more, I've been getting more and more involved in it. And I'm actually thinking myself about running for an assembly position. But I certainly, something like the committee men would certainly be a good way for me to get involved. How do I go about getting myself?
Right. Well, let me answer that. Let me answer that question. First of all, you want to go into your county, get the and even next door counties, and get the leaders together and have us out there to give a presentation. Our presentation is on power, and it does deal, you know, half of it's about the committee, and the other half is on the judicial process. But if you go out to, and then we will come out for a special. We'll do right after that. If we do it on a Saturday, we can give a special presentation on how to fill out a designating petition, how to walk the petition, and the details of that. But we do have that in on video. If you go to newyorkcommitteeman.org and click on the committeeman process, okay, read that page. It's a lot of information. But we have in here how to petition. It's the fourth tab on the top to the right, fourth tab on the right on the top of the page. It says how to petition and where to get your walking list. Now, if you click on that, it gives you all the details. Now, I have to check these dates. These are last year's dates, I think. I have to see if I updated them for this year. But I might have checked. No, I didn't. I have to update them for this year. But if you come down here, we have tutorial videos. And we show you exactly how to file and fill out the paperwork and file it in detail. This is about an hour long, this particular video. Then the other thing, and in this, he described basically how to walk the petition and basic information. Now, we will be, again, with our presentation, I'll put together a short presentation on how to walk a petition. It shouldn't be any more than maybe 10 minutes and then questions and answers. But as far as filling out the paperwork and filing the paperwork, you got it right here. This is pretty simple.
I'm looking right now at the tabs, precise plan, history, how to petition, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So go through all this stuff.
Go through all that.
Yeah. And then when you have questions, you come into this room here on a Monday. This is what the room is for. You say, hey, look, you know, I was trying to figure this out, and I didn't understand this point, or I missed that point, or something. And then we'll explain it to you. And then that'll give us the opportunity to update our website with that information that we missed. Because sometimes you get little holes in your fabric here, and you don't realize it, you know?
And the good thing about this website is you can pull your walking list down off of it. It was such pulling teeth to go to the party and get that crap.
Right. We're still at a point. We're looking for someone who is real good with, what do they call them things, the databases, okay, that can actually create a database for us so that we can pull it off right here online. Right now, if you go to the walking list, you click on the walking list page, for instance, and you'll have to send us information. You give us, you send an email with your name, whatever party, your address, which is zip code, your county, your phone number, and all this information. And then we have somebody who actually takes this email and then looks up the list and emails it to you. Now, if we can get someone who will volunteer their time to create a database for us with all the information we have, where people would come in and they click on their county, and then they click on their zip code, and then if there was another question, because sometimes you'll have so many election districts in your zip code, you'll find your, I think it's called the, let's see, 5, 6, 7, what is it, an 8-digit zip code or 9 digits or something? There's an additional 4 numbers.
Yeah,
yeah, 9
okay.
digits.
Right, so if you use your address, we can set up where you click the tab, you put your zip code and your address in, and it'll tell you what your 9-digit zip code is. Once you get that, you can put your 9-digit into this into the search engine, and then it'll spit out your election district, the walking list. Now, walking list is anywhere. It could be from one person, literally. Matter of fact, Lenny Roberto, the guy I learned this from, in his election district, it was easy for him to become the committee man because he was the only one that could get all the signatures. There was only 2 Republicans his entire district, and that was him and his wife. And his wife wasn't going to sign anyone but his. So he's it. Nobody else could get into the system on that. But anyway, you need to go out into your community. Usually you'll have anywhere from a couple of hundred to maybe 400 constituents in your election district at most. And if you have 400, then you need 5%. So that's 20 signatures. So we tell people get 25 signatures, always get an additional 5 or so. So you should be able to do this by going out and get anywhere from 10 to 25 signatures, depending on the size of your election district. Then you fill out the paperwork accordingly. You have them sign this, and then you deliver it on a certain date. There's a 4-day window when you drop your papers off. And if no one's running against you, then you win. And believe me, no one's running against you. They have claimed people's running against you, but they're really not. And you will win by default, as the Constitution gave authority to the legislator, and the legislators have written the default note in there. If there is no contest, you win by default. And that's it.
I was just going to say, another thing that would be handy for that is to take a single sheet of paper that shows why you're asking for their signatures. I mean, if you walk in to your neighbor, and it would be nice to inform them what's going on.
I give them a pocket constitution, and I say I'm for the Constitution. The Republicans are in trouble, and we're looking to reinstate it. Here's a copy of the Constitution. Will you sign my petition to help me fight for liberty?
Yeah,
that's all
good.
You have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And very rarely does a person not sign.
How many people here have read the Bond versus United States case, the Supreme Court case?
I have it sitting on my desktop.
You do have it?
Oh, yeah. I haven't read it yet.
That's the one of the most encouraging cases I've read. That's a case where the Supreme Court did a 9-0 vote, and even Ginsburg and the other women voted for it. And the issue was the federal government brought a case in a state, and it cheated the state out of its territory, out of its jurisdiction, and they got a 9-0 vote. I wouldn't think that would be possible today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, by the way, I'm looking at the text chat. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention. But if people can just keep an eye on the text chat, some people aren't on the phone. So, you know, if something should be brought to our attention out there so that we can answer a question or something. What we do need, though, is, and I think I see someone out there put this idea out there. I was thinking of it myself also. If someone wants to make a flyer of some kind of what it is, we're doing here. Flyers take a lot of work because you're really trying to say a lot in very few words. You don't want to make it too wordy, and yet you want to give a good picture of what it is we're doing to entice people and to tell people how they can get involved. So if someone wants to create a flyer and send it to us, and we'll sort of chew through it and get something hammered out, we can then put that up on our website, and then people can download the flyers, have them printed off, and hand those out at different activities and to try to get people to join up with us. The key thing is to try to get the leaders to join up with us, because once the leaders get into the game, then they'll bring the people that they are working with, you know. And right now, all the leaders, if they don't realize it, need to get out to the local gun associations, because those people are all ready and ripe to come into the game here.
Well, I know I've spoken to a few people that are involved with the different gun clubs up here. And, yeah, you're right. Everybody is they definitely stirred up a hornet's nest, you know, and a lot of people are getting really aggravated about this. And I think talking with the right individuals, and I know a couple of different people that I can talk to up here in this area, and I'm sure my buddy Rob, same with him, will definitely get the word out to a lot of the different gun clubs up here and, you know, hopefully get things going up here. I also just sent out an email to Myrtle149 with
yeah,
my
he's
info.
With us.
So if he's out there, I'm looking forward to my list.
Yeah, I just talked with him about an hour or so ago. I don't know if he doesn't look like he's on the call, but I'll be talking with him tomorrow, as a matter of fact, so I'll follow up on that list. You can't walk your district until a certain date, though. Remember that.
Okay.
And we'll have to post those dates. If you go up to, go up to our website on that page, and you click on, click on how to petition. I think that's it. Yeah. The first day for signing designating petitions last year was June 5th. And it'll be very close to that. Somewhere in the first week of June is usually it.
Okay.
And the date for filing the petition last year was between July 9th and July 12th. So you can walk, any signature you get before that date, and again, we have to correct that date, but let's say last year's dates, before June 5th would not be counted.
Right.
They have to be on June 5th or after. And you can get signatures all the way up to the 12th. But you have to file it somewhere between the 9th and the 12th. If you miss the 12th, you lost the window.
Right.
Now, I don't know why they make it so hard. You should be able to walk your petition.
Yes, you do.
And hand them in. Yeah, I do, though. You're right. You should be able to hand your petitions in any time, you know, between those dates, the starting of the walking, the end of the walking. But, you know, they do what they do.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to be doing that, and it'll give me something to do this summer.
Yep.
As to the gentleman out in Silver Creek, Mr. Wassel, I find it rather interesting, although not overly surprising.
Is that the guy that was arrested?
Yeah. He gets charged with 3 felonies, and the judge releases him on an ROR. I think that's the first time somebody has been charged with a felony and wasn't bailed out. Clear case that they're just simply after their guns.
Well, we can win that case. If we can get a hold of that guy and he looks to see what we're doing, we can win that case. We can have him out of that court because they don't have jurisdiction. It's a nisi prius court, which means it's a statutory court that operates under statutes, and statutes are not law. They think it's law. That's why we call it pretend law, and it's not real law. But once we lay out the case to them and it starts to roost at home, so to speak, they come to realize that they got to let this case go. And do you realize how big a story this could be if we can get this guy off, because they were getting him on pretend law, okay? It's not real.
Yeah.
You know?
Although, it's interesting because I just looked because I was trying to find the article. It was on 2 of the local news channels up here on their websites. The story's now gone from both of their websites.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I happened to post it to Facebook through the Freedom Outpost. So that's how I ended up pulling the story up again and getting the information on Mr. Wassel of Silver Creek. But both CBS 6 and WNYT News Channel 13 both took the report off of their websites.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got some more information today, and I didn't check it out, but I'll put it out there. I don't know if this is true. Maybe you can tell me if you heard. They also have got him for selling the gun to a felon. The guy told him that he was a felon, and he said he didn't care. So that's an additional charge.
Well, I didn't hear anything on that. I just know from this article, he sold the weapons to an undercover New York State trooper along with 300 rounds. So,
yeah, that was on the internet. I did see that.
Yeah, two guns.
And some magazines, too, like a bunch of magazines, too.
Yeah. But also at the same time, and I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if any of you heard about the soldier up near Fort Drum who was arrested and charged with numerous felonies for having magazines.
Again,
really?
We can get him out of court.
And the other
we
thing
can,
I
we
heard
can win
that,
that case if he wants us to help him.
I heard that they went crazy up there when they arrested this guy on the gun charge. I heard Lenny Roberto was jumping up and down saying, let's get gasoline and guns and go break him out of jail. He gave a speech or something. And so, you know, maybe they didn't want to start the revolution that day, and they released him ROI because the people were screaming so bad. I don't know. You know, the fact that the newspaper, that the, you know, the network news is taking it off, you know, they must want it to die down, I guess. In other words, they're putting it out there. This is, you know, this is Obama's toe in the water. I don't know if you can see that or not. You know,
it's black. I can tell.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Cuomo is working hand in hand with Obama. They want to lock the country.
Sure he is.
And they figured, you know, he didn't race Obama to put this law. And Obama said, you do it first. We'll see what kind of problems you have. And that'll let me know where I need to go with the rest of the country. Because they figure if they can't lock New York down, they're not going to lock any of the rest of the country down. So then they'll go to Plan B. They'll go to some false flag operation. We'll have attacks on our soil. They'll put us under martial law. They'll go the other way. You know what I mean?
Right.
I truly believe that. I believe that whatever we do in New York, that's their gauge. You know, the whole world is watching New York right now. This is a global issue, believe me.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody's nervous, and they know that when they get rid of the guns in America, all those other countries, you know, they only get a fractional reserve of the freedom that we have.
Yet at the same time... They don't have some of the constraints that we do. I mean, look at Iraq. Every Iraqi was allowed to have a fully automatic weapon in their home while we were there.
Yeah.
Okay? They were run by a dictator, yet everybody was allowed to have an automatic weapon.
Yeah,
and
what's up with that?
And we can't even have a semi-automatic weapon. But again, you know, a lot of it, in my opinion, has to do with the media and, you know, all this false information. Oh, there are assault weapons. Idiots. And every time I ask somebody, they just stand there like, assault weapons were outlawed in the 1930s.
Right.
These aren't assault weapons that these crimes have been committed with. They're regular sporting rifles. But, you know, the media is so good at making such a big production out of little things, it's not even funny.
Well, there's no consequences for them. That's the other thing. The media is the other piece that has to fall in, you know, if we ever get things straightened out. The first thing we got to do is start arresting some of these guys that put this misinformation out. Because, you know, our First Amendment is the newspapers and the media. And the television, and if we got a bunch of commies up there or whatever they are, we have to take care of that because we can't have them, you know, not reporting the news or misreporting the news.
Well, basically they're puppets, and they're doing what their masters are telling them to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I found it ironic that, well, yes and no, Fox News drops Judge Napolitano, their most popular TV show, to replace it with reruns of news programs. Some, you know, stock market crap. Really? But then, you know, Fox News, we all know who they are, and we all mm-hmm. know that they're corporate run, and they have to bow down to their masters, and the masters obviously got tired of Judge Napolitano speaking the truth for a change, so they axed him.
Well, they, you know, the whole media is owned by three billionaires. I mean, look at George Soros, I think, owns most of the major news media. I mean, he's a communist, you know, and his goal is to have this country fall under socialism. And he puts all his money into that effort.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's a billionaire, that guy.
I just want to make note here again on the text chat, you know, that we want to keep an eye on things, so sometimes people are not on phones. And I see Jen's back. I know he was talking about something with doing a flyer or getting a flyer. I'm not sure what. Maybe you could be more specific in the text chat, Jenot. But we do need someone to put a flyer together. You know, if I have to, I'll put one together, but it's going to be a little while before I can get to it. And it does take time because you got to really think it out. Well, you know, again, it's hard to figure out, you know, to put in minimum words, maximum stuff, you know, to get people interested.
I can certainly see what I can do. I mean, this is a lot of this is new for me, but I seem to be doing fairly well, at least with, like, you know, expressing myself. Three times I've written things that I've wanted to say, and all three times I wasn't able to say it. For, you know, last week in the court, last Wednesday at the court, we were supposed to have oral hearings. Well, the judge put a squibosh to that.
Well, if you're going to go to court with Bob Schultz and you want to speak in his court, you know, because he kind of put it together, so I'll call it his court, you're going to want to get a hold of him and tell him you have a few things to say and you'd like to sit up front with him. You know, we have, when we go into the courtroom, we have three or four people that want to speak. And so they're up front. If we get another person in our system, you know, in our process, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't let.
But we want to make sure that we're all on the same page, though. That's an important thing. So.
Right,
but you're going to want to get in if you want to speak, you have to get permission from the court itself, because when you go before the Court of Appeals, they only allow you so much time, and you have to ask for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. And you have every right to ask for that 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, but that was the whole thing with last Wednesday. The judge turned around and said, I'm not letting anybody speak other than Mr. Schultz.
Well, you should have just said one word. Objection, Your Honor. I'm a plaintiff here. You can't silence me. Objection.
Okay. Well, I'll have to remember that for the
next
time.
He's our employee. He's our employee. You know, push him a little bit. Let him go to the point where he tells you he's going to put you in contempt of court.
You go to NewYorkCommitteeMen.org, and on that, click on judicial process. When you get to that page, on the top of that page, you'll find some tabs. The second tab in says court access. Okay,
yeah.
Read that page very carefully. It's a short page, but there's a download. There's zip downloads. We give a free course on how to access the court, and we also give free courses. We have lectures. We have, I don't know, 40 hours of lecture on MP3s. We have some on video lectures on the common law process. So between those two courses, which is the lectures and the book that we put together teaching people how to access the court and what the procedures are and the paperwork and, you know, everything you have to file and how to file it and, you know, how the courts work, you know, the layout and structure of the state court, New York State Court, and the same thing with the federal courts and so on. This will give you all the info. You know, we learned this very quickly because we're under the gun. We were filing our first lawsuit. We didn't have a clue how to do this. And between the first and second lawsuit we laid out and filed was a huge difference, and that was only a couple of months apart. So we learned very quickly. You know, we really went in and really studied hard. But anybody who puts an hour a day into this thing, that's 5 hours a week, okay, you could do an hour a day or you could do 5 hours on a Saturday or something, and then give us an hour or two here on the Monday night meetings, with that in the course of a year, you will be totally astute in the political and judicial process of our system.
Okay, well, that sounds good to me. I mean, I'm disabled, so I don't have a whole hell of a lot that I can do. So I might as well learn as much as I can.
Get the biggest muscle in your body working. It's called the brain.
Definitely. And then I don't know if any of you heard about last Monday in Albany with the assembly. What a joke that was. We had they opened up the floor to public speak for an hour, then they try to close it with all kinds of objections and everything, ended up still, even though they ended up going into session, taking a vote to extend the public session, going out of session, allowing another half hour of speaking, they still didn't get through the whole list of people that wanted to speak because it took them so damn long arguing with each other to do a simple thing like continue to let their constituents speak.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous. But at the same time, you know, it was kind of eye-opening to me because this is all new to me, you know, going to these assembly meetings and going to these court cases and everything. Because like I said, I've never really been involved in all this, but ever since things have been going the way they've been going, I've been getting more and more involved in it, you know, and it's incredible the way this government is being run.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no doubt about it. Well, it's
the dysfunctionality of it.
It's being run by a bunch of Nazis and Marxists, Nazis on the right, Marxists on the left. And they're really working together, you know, and by the way, I just want to plug this, you know, this is our 19th episode. I haven't written anything on information on what this episode is about yet, so I will do that shortly. But we have 19 episodes, and every time we come on, we try to spend a little time teaching people something. And over the course of time, you'll get a lot of knowledge that way, too. And but on our website, on the left side of our website, we have a box there. It's a blue box. It says Liberty Alliance. And there's a drop-down box. Or you can play the, you click on play and you'll hear the last episode, or you click on the drop down box and you can go back to all 19 and choose any of those. And it gives you the title. You can look it up and see what that particular meeting is about. So the point is you can go back and listen to our past episodes. It'll really help you because we're really trying to get information out through these episodes, you know, maybe 20 minutes, a half hour at a time. There was another thing. I just noticed this. I never noticed this before, but out on our website right now, there's a live now button.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I never saw that before, so that's interesting. So people can join in right now just by clicking that button. By clicking, if they come to the website, they click that button, they'll join right into us. But we have to get people into the system here. We've got to get people educated. We've got to get people interested. And one of the best sources of education in what we're doing, I want to tell you, is reading our court cases. If anybody reads the court case we wrote on the gun on the gun lawsuit, it's 48 or 49 pages, plus it's got attachments. Okay, but the written part of it is 49 pages. You will get an education in history. You will see what liberty is all about, the true meaning. It's a very patriotic paper. Same thing with the second one we just filed. You'll get and that's only 9 pages, but it's got an attachment of 63 pages. You should read through the whole thing because it's fascinating, fascinating reading in the Articles of Freedom. And I think he could have chose better words in different places, but nevertheless, they didn't know about that. And our founding fathers used some of those words. So like citizen, I wouldn't use citizen in a legal arena, but that's okay. Nevertheless, it is what it is, and it is the people's Congress that was put together for under emergency conditions, because the Continental Congress comes out only under emergency conditions. That's its purpose, to come out and deal with government and take it over if necessary because the government has gone rogue. And if we have to recall that Continental Congress in order to start discussing this, because as soon as the first bullet is fired, it's time for the Continental Congress to pull back together and make a plan. I'll have to talk to Bob Schultz about that. Well, actually, no. I got to talk to the president of the Continental Congress. His name is Michael Bodnarik. That guy, he'll jump into anything. So
yeah, I read about that on an email that I had gotten about that whole thing that happened in 2009 and was fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely all for it. The only thing is, though, I almost think that before the first bullet flies, that Continental Congress needs to reconvene and do something because, I mean,
I agree with you.
I think if when the first bullet flies, it's going to be on, and that's going to be it.
Well, the second Continental Congress was coming together to try to decide what to do, and while they were actually in travel to come to, and in those days it took days for people to get to where they had to go sometimes. But while they were in travel, bullets were already flying. The war was on, the revolution had started. And of course, the total conclusion and focus on that that Second Continental Congress was the Declaration of Independence. And that was the piece of the work that they put out. That's how great and important and powerful that Congress is. These people, let me tell you, these judges up there, if they deny what we just offered them, that is treason right there. That judge needs to hang as soon as we get power. Okay?
Right.
And we need to let him know in no uncertain terms it is tyranny for you to go any other way than you have been commanded by the people, by the kings of this country. You have been commanded. In no uncertain terms, they didn't just use words that were hard to figure out, like the word is or was or something. They actually came out and said it. They said, repeal all state statutes regulating the ownership, use, and transfer of firearms and ammunition. Repeal any state statute which provides for the registration of firearms and ammunition. What word in here do they not understand that the king has spoken?
Right.
Okay? So we're going to hold this judge's feet to the fire, and any judge that gets away up in our way up the line, we're going to hold their feet to the fire. We're going to make it clear that they are enemies of the people if they go up against this. Okay? And, we say right in here, they will be held accountable. They will become accountable if they go the wrong way and do not do the will of the people. They are to mirror the sovereign of the court. And we laid it clear and cut that they will be the cause. They will be the cause of a violent revolution if they go up against the people. It'll be because of that judge individual refusing to let go of that court.
Right. But now, getting back to what you were saying earlier about, essentially arresting the dictator of New York right now.
Yes.
My biggest question is, how do we get past this security detail?
Well, the sheriff. That's why we have to get Sheriff Mack out here. Look at the sheriffs of New York State are ready. They are ready. They're becoming primed. They're dealing with the subject for the first time in 50 to 100 years. They're
right.
coming to realize what their real power is. They're coming to understand what their duty is, what their purpose is. We just did a thing. If you go up to New York Committeemen and you go to lawsuits, now we haven't filed a lawsuit yet. We haven't written it yet. We are taking names. Anybody wants to join in, pop out and fill out a paper and get it in, and we'll add you to the list. But the bottom line is, get out there. We wrote the history of the sheriff, where the sheriff comes from. They've been around since like about 600, 700 A.D. They've been around a long time.
Right.
And the sheriff is the king's police force. And who's the king here today? It's us. They got the power to deputize. They're here to protect the king and serve the king. That's
right.
Their purpose.
Which to an extent is why what I said before, the way things are going, I have a sneaky feeling it's going to end up being us and the sheriffs versus them.
Yeah, it will be, probably. But I will tell you right now, no one's going to go up against the sheriff. The New World Order might, but they're going to have a real tough time if the sheriff's organized. Now they got. There's no one in this country that's going to go on the other side of the sheriffs. Once they realize, hey, the sheriffs are out, there must be a takeover in our government. Look at this. The sheriffs are out here. So you wake up the people that are still sleeping. But so we need to support our sheriff. We need to educate our sheriff. We need to get Sheriff Mack out here. We need to do it quick. We need to do it soon. We need to do it now because when we get through this court system, we need an educated sheriff who understands what has to be done. Okay.
Well, I tell you.
When we do it, there is a procedure. The court orders, and they're given. We wrote down here exactly what we want them to do, and they get so many days to get out there and do it. And if they don't do it, they're found. They're given a show cause. They have to show cause why they refuse to do it. Then they'll be commanded again, and they will be found in contempt of court. And then on the bottom of the contempt of court, it'll be written out exactly what's going to happen if they don't comply, which means they're going to be arrested, and they'll be detained in jail until I'd love to arrest all 150 plus the 63 plus the governor. You know, put them in jail, let them sit there till they're ready to come out and tell the people the truth for once in their life, because they're nothing but a bunch of liars, and they need to tell the people the truth. They've been holding these people hostage by pretend law. That's what they've been doing. They've been throwing people in jail and destroying their lives, just like the IRS, under pretend law.
Yeah.
And they need to be kept in jail till they do it. Now, that's the extreme. Can it be done? Am I dreaming? Well, maybe. But I'll keep on dreaming. It's possible if people understand where we're at in time and that this is the revolution. And it can be done without violence. We can take this country back. There's still some time if they get off their fat rear ends and do it. Just do it.
Right.
Let's do it. That's all. Just do
yeah.
it.
I mean, I had made mention back on the 28th because somebody gave me a bullhorn, which was not the smartest of ideas.
Uh-oh.
But I threw it out there to the crowd before everything got started, and there was a good crowd there before the speaker started speaking. I said, hey, if Cuomo can't hear us, there's enough of us. I say we go in there and we let them know by throwing all their asses out and taking over our house, the capital of the people of New York, and letting them know that they've gone too far.
Was this at the gun rally?
This was on the 28th in Albany.
So that was at the big one when we had, God, I heard somewhere around 10,000 people?
Yep. Between
okay.
outside and inside. And once again, the media dulled it down.
Did you meet me out there? Did we meet?
Huh?
Did we meet out there?
I don't know. I met a lot of people that day.
I had a table out there signing up people for the gun lawsuit. So
okay.
you would have. That's where I was the whole time. So if you came up to a table, I was the guy at the table, one of the guys at the table.
Okay, well, it's possible. I was at the top of the stairs to the left of the stage, if you were looking at the stage.
Yeah, you were up front then.
Yep.
Yeah, I was in the middle towards on the, if you were looking at the stage, I was in the middle on the left side.
Okay, well, I made a couple of rounds through the crowd to see, you know, what was going on and how things were going.
Mm-hmm.
I had my black duster and my black vest with Sons of Liberty, because I'm also a Sons of Liberty rider. I'm involved with them, who's
mm-hmm.
also, Chris McCluth is also a member of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's our New York State president.
Oh, okay.
And I know.
Well, look, at you. We're going to continue on, but I'm going to end the recording right now, because we don't like to get the recordings too long. Right now it's about an hour and 20 minutes long, so give me a second to end the recording, and then we'll continue our conversation.